some Christians I know are persuaded towards evolution. This, of course, cuts out the fall, because if man evolved and is evolved from some sort of newt or something, there was never a fall. And so man really never became independent of God. But if we cut out the fall, we cut out maybe the loveliest thing that we'll ever imagine. And that is that in the beginning God, he created. And he created them male and female, created he them. He created Adam and Eve, primarily for fellowship with himself, and then secondarily for fellowship with each other, so that Adam would not be alone. God, in his almightiness, had love to spare, if you like. And so he wanted something to focus that love upon. Love has to have an object, of course. And so he chose to make man in his image and likeness, and placed just a seed of himself within that man that was meant to grow and develop and be such a joy to him and the created. But of course we all know the story. It didn't last. And the fall ensued. We can perhaps take the act of the fall quite lightly, because we're in it, and it's like having a black velvet bag over our head, really. We can't see. The fall has made us unable to see. And when God removes the blindfold, removes the bag off our head, we blink because of the light that we come into, and squint because we can only take a little bit of it. But he, on the other hand, is now gazing fully upon that which he made, that which he loves to distraction. And now the whole business is one of bringing back that created person to himself. And it's then that we find in every area of our lives the independence that the fall left us with. If we imagine our lives and ourselves like a large mansion with many rooms in it, if you're honest with yourself, you'll find there's lots of little nooks, crannies, rooms, attics, basements, where it's just a no-go area for God. You're not going in there. You don't need to see what's in there, and you do not need to be part of what I do in that room. Independence. Biggest thing. Gave rise to everything. Adam stepped away. Eve stepped away. So the lordship issue is the biggie, because we still want to be lord of our lives. We do not want someone to rule over us. Do you remember Israel? We will not have a man. We will not have God to rule over us. We want a man to rule over us. So he gives them Saul. And the whole thing was a disaster. They insisted on having someone of flesh and blood to rule over them, and we are the same now. We will find someone to rule over us. Either a physical person, someone whom we can come in under, so that it's their fault when anything goes wrong. But most often it's that tyrant self that we come under, the soul that we come under. He will not give way to the spirit man. He's been in charge all these years, and he's not stepping aside now. Elbows out, he's ready for a fight. So every step of our way when we come back into the presence of God through the shed blood of Jesus is a fight, because the soul will not readily give way to the spirit, the way we were created, spirit, soul, body. But when the spiritual connection was broken with God, when our battery went flat, the soul took over. And ever since then, separation, independence, I'll do it my way. You hear it all round you. We live with it so that we no longer recognise it. That's the trouble. That bondage is a familiar friend. So my question to you today is, who's on the throne? Just right now, while you're listening to this, who is on the throne? Is your soul arguing, but, but? If you don't believe that your soul and your body actually rule you, just tell it that you're going to fast tomorrow and see the shindig that immediately starts to kick up. The moment that the soul is crossed, it's up there on its hind legs, boxing gloves on. I'm not doing that. Got to start being honest with ourselves about the devastating effects of the fall. God doesn't blame us. That's why he's so patient with us. It's we that do not understand. No shame, no blame. But there has to be a determination sometime or another. I am not going to be independent of God, and neither am I going to be dependent upon any other person other than him. So if you find yourself running to other people when something happens, because you and God cannot make the decision, you're going all round to find out if this one agrees with you, if that one agrees with you, you're people dependent. It's very subtle. But if you're going to go anywhere and walk the high road and count in these last days, it's got to be you and him. He's sufficient. So for you, is he sufficient? Is he enough for every eventuality? If you were cast on a desert island and it was just you and him, is he enough? Sometimes we just have to face our own weaknesses, and they turn up in areas that we least expect. No condemnation. This is not a judgment or a criticism. This is progress. Because we have to see ourselves as we are, like an addict has to recognize that he's addicted to the dope or addicted to the booze. We have to recognize that sometimes we are addicted to people and the props that we have around us. And it's much harder by far, to take our hands off of those and lean our whole weight on him. Do you remember the beloved in the Song of Songs? Right at the end, she comes up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. Beloved, he wants you to lean on him, on every leaning side, as the old Negro spiritual says, on every leaning side. He wants you totally dependent on him, where your independence has gone forever. And you say, good riddance. God bless you as you take time to let this message settle in. And remember, if you are the evolutionist, you might want to rethink it. God bless you.